As I mentioned earlier, our theme over this month is refresh. And remind me, earlier this morning, Jason said his two new batteries. I think I was down to 2 bars on my battery pack. So I had to put in a couple more batteries and made me think, refresh. How are your batteries this morning? Start of a new year is a great time to think about whether you need charging. This last year, Rob and I had 2 months off. We headed up to Cape York and we pull a hybrid and it's off-roads right up the tip. It's not York Peninsula. And we had 3 or 4 batteries, 3 in the van, 1 in the extra one in the car to keep charged because we were running a 50-litre freezer and a 75-litre fridge. And of course, the further north we went, the warmer it got and the more demanding the power was. And invariably, we like to go off-grid. And when you're off-grid, you actually, once you're up there and it's 34 and steamy, you like to park in the shade. So your management of your batteries is really important, or the fridge and the freezer begin to warm up. Reminds me that there are times in our lives where we need to manage our batteries, not just our spiritual batteries, they just might simply be our life batteries. I don't like to separate the two because God has made us as one. But there is something within the scriptures that talk about being refreshed, and our key text is 2 Corinthians, so that we do not lose heart. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So this idea of refreshment that we begin with, you can use the word renew as well, is around what it is to be renewed within ourselves, whether that's battery charge or not. That's my think this morning. Maybe what you need, particularly because you're up to 1 o'clock this morning, so you need some refreshing. But Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. The treasure is that of the gospel. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. That's a profound verse. I don't know what that feels like. Not in this country, anyhow. We live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. In other words, as Paul and his team were ministering the gospel and they faced death through that, the people that they were ministering to, this gospel, this good news, they experienced life. That was a good thing. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. You see, that's why I gave you the whole reading there. Because you can't just jump into verse 16 there without understanding what Paul has just said. That's why we never give up. Why? For all those reasons that he's just outlined from verse 7. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. So what's this refresh look like for Paul when he was at constant threat of being killed and his outer body was decaying? Yet he was being renewed or refreshed day by day. I'm reminded that unless we're intentional with our lives, we can end up like a rundown garden in our picture. That can be how we either look or feel, one or the other or both at the same time. Plenty of potential, even loads of good intention, but short on positive outcomes. We can feel like this garden, lacking in nutrients, fertilizer, water, overcome by weeds, bugs, rubbish. Just like a garden requires attention, this month we're giving attention to this idea of refreshed. Let me give you some context here, and just briefly, Paul's already said in 2 Corinthians 2, this is one of the ways that he was refreshed, was through the triumph that he had in God. He says, thanks God, he's made us captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. But now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. So Paul was able to be refreshed, renewed day by day, continually, because he knew of the triumph of Christ. That was a part of him continuing and not getting slack. But also the transforming work of the Spirit in 3:18. He says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. The Spirit was at work. He was walking in the knowledge of a triumphant Christ, and so he would not lose heart. But at the same time, in the same book, and Paul was under the pump by people who were questioning his apostleship, he wrote that even while they were in Asia, where we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. So here's the paradox. Even though Paul knew of the triumph of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, at the times he was so under the hammer that he despaired of his own life. But he did not lose heart. 2 Corinthians is a great book to know of this refreshment that God can bring us. And again, when Paul was in Macedonia, in chapter 7, verse 5, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn. Is that how you're finishing out 2022? You're just like an uncharged battery. And Paul, it was at a point where in Macedonia, he had no rest, and afflicted at every turn. But he was sustained through the surpassing power of God, we read in chapter 4, verse 7. And so as we land on this theme of refresh, why? Why would we do that? Well, there are many that are feeling like the Apostle Paul, heightened levels of anxiety, need to have recharged batteries, lack of rest, loneliness is epidemic in our communities, just feeling troubled. Paul would say that he was hard pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Sounds like a song. There's four buts in there, key buts. This was Paul's reality over here. And that sounds like life. That sounds like something that's real, doesn't it? This is no theoretical thing that he's teaching here. This is not just about something out of a book. This was his experience that he and his team abided in. And the reason for this, we've read in 4:15, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So he says, you, our readers, you who are recipients of the gospel, you'll be blessed, and as you're blessed, that will be for the glory of God. So this was not pointless suffering that Paul was going through. There's a reason for this. He says, this is why we never give up, though our outward bodies are feeling a tad worn, run down, flat, needing a bit more than a Barocca could bring, and yet at the same time resting in the power of God. This idea of being renewed literally is day by day by faith and hope, is being renewed. And so that's my prayer for us over this start of the year, that day by day we will know of the refreshment of God. And that's significant. So what does this look like? The first thing, looking at time as well, it's a tough first point. Because the thing that comes out consistently through 2 Corinthians for Paul is this refreshment comes through suffering. You say, Tony, that doesn't sound like a good start to the year. Well, maybe, but it's reality. This was Paul's reality. Refreshment for him would actually come through suffering. In verse 17 and 18, it says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, and we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. It is in our suffering, or in his suffering, that he is reminded, we are reminded of our weakness. And in that we lean into the power and the surpassing power of God. It's in suffering that we're reminded also of the triumph that we have in Christ. It's in suffering that we're reminded of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. So how's that looking for you in 2023? Probably not the start that you're thinking of. For refresh, yes, but refresh through suffering. And let's be clear, for some of us, our idea of suffering is not being able to buy enough toilet paper. We've mentioned that before. Or not being able to sing in church. Or you can add your own thing to that list that amounts to suffering. And yet for others, your suffering is very real. We've had people lose loved ones this year, and there's a brokenness that is experienced within. There are those who have gone through incredible hardship. You see, one of the barriers to actually being refreshed in your spirit is the experience of grief. And sometimes how we don't manage to manage grief might be related to the death of a loved one, but essentially grief is the emotion we feel around loss. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be the loss of health. It may be the loss of an employment opportunity, or the loss of liberty, or the loss of opportunity for us as a church to build at the moment. That's a grief. I felt that grief this year. Many here felt that grief. It's a grief around loss, and the feelings specific to grief are around sadness, anger, hurt, and fear, and these things can be a barrier to what it is to be refreshed. Henri Nouwen, in his book Spiritual Formation, he had a chapter titled From Sorrow to Joy. He says that we're to mourn our losses and question how you live your losses. Are you hiding them? Are you pretending they aren't real? Are you refusing to share them with your fellow travelers? He says, all grief can go right into the deepest self and sit there for the rest of your life. So it's really difficult if we're not managing our grief. And another writer would talk about what it is to embrace our grief, to understand that there's a reason why we feel sad, and that's okay. and to allow God through His Spirit and the surpassing power of God to move us through that grief, even though we may still feel that grief, but there's a sense of a renewal that comes through grief and loss and pain. That's why refresh is so important. It calls for us to experience the renewal of God in our spirit every day, sometimes in the context of our grief. We learn to embrace this grief, acknowledge it, sit in it, understand it's okay, and our spirits in the context of that are renewed day by day through suffering. You can't tell me that Paul didn't suffer grief. We know that he was anxious for the churches. He would be grieved when he would see churches that were divided. He'd be grieved when people were not responding to the gospel, but he would understand that that grief was something that God was there for him in the context of his ministry life. And our spirits can be renewed. The other context around refresh, just briefly, is refresh through good company. You say, Tony, that's not in the text. No, it's not. I had to borrow from a couple of others. You know, normally I work through text and we do exegetic and I like that. I don't like it when we start with the text and that's the last time we refer to the text. We start with a verse and we read the verse and then we don't refer to it till the close. We fill the middle bit with a few passages and stories and get to the end. We like to work our way through text, but refresh through good company, because Paul, in looking at the fullness of the Spirit and also at the power of God here, had company that would bring refreshment day by day. You say, where do you get that tone? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 17 and 18. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Acacius, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. Here's the Apostle Paul, who in the context of writing and ministering would acknowledge that these poor people brought refreshment to his spirit. And I want to encourage you in this new year, find those that bring refreshment into your spirit. And who are you refreshing? Good relationships. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 16. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. I love that verse. Paul's a pretty heavyweight, and yet he was comforted by the coming of his friend Titus. Romans 15 verse 32. So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. It's a consistent theme in the writings of Paul. The comparison is 2 Timothy 1 verse 15. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygellus and Hermogenes. They'd done a runner. They deserted Paul. And Paul acknowledged that. There was a grief that would come with that, but he was refreshed. I love Philemon. Verse 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the heart of the saints have been refreshed through you. So here's the thing for you at the start of this year. Refreshment can come through suffering. In fact, it's that old adage of we move from immaturity, we move through suffering or difficulty to come through maturity on the other side. That was Paul's experience. But not just refreshment through suffering, but also refreshment through others. Who are you hanging out with that refresh your soul? And sometimes the refresh may not be a feel-good. It may be a tone, how are you doing? Now, how are you really doing? Someone said to me the other day, you looked a bit lost. That was an observant person. And they asked me, those people refresh my soul. Don't all come up and ask me what I'm looking like. All right, just... you know, who are the people that today you're being refreshed by? I say to our team, I say, listen, I might want them to contact people. I said, don't give them a text message. Because a text message, I like to hear your voice. I like to hear your emotion. I like to hear your humanity. A text and an emoji doesn't do it for me. I like Jesus with skin on. So I'm in the habit of trying to ring somebody and say, how are you doing? And I can hear their voice, they can hear my voice. If they don't answer the phone, then I might flick them a text. Just want to catch up. How are you going? Refresh can come simply through relationship. That might be a new thing for you. Find people who refresh your soul, who encourage you in your walk with Jesus, who are not just about to give you advice, but simply to walk alongside you and be with you. And then the flip side of that is, who are you refreshing? Who is in your life that they just love it with when Shane Dunkley knocks on the door or gives them a phone call because there's something about Shane that refreshes your soul? Or there's some others, I see them going out with for walking with people that I know in our community, in our church community, are lonely. And guess what? I see them walking along the foreshore in Encounter Bay, and it's some of our older ladies, and they're holding hands, and they are refreshing each other's soul day by day by day. You know, it's so simple. You don't even have to have the gift of refreshment. You just need to be something of Jesus in the presence of others. There are so many of you that refresh our soul, my soul. You really do. Those two things. The third one, we'll finish because we need to be done. The third one is simply refresh through perspective. But you can look at this. If you're just looking at your daily feeds, if you're just looking at your data, if you're just looking at your news feeds and whatever else, then you're driven to look at the earthly perspective, and to be quite honest, that will increase your anxiety levels. Change your perspective. There's a refreshment that comes through understanding the world that you live in, but also understanding that this isn't all there is. So if there's things from 2022 that are just sat there and continue to make you anxious, I want to encourage you to sort of try and lay them aside for a while and change your perspective and reflect upon His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Let not your hearts be anxious. We're going to talk about refresh through the mind in the coming weeks. Let me pray for you.